There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk. We love that you're here. And a reminder, too, we want your input. So you can do that, of course, through the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app by using the text line feature or the good old-fashioned call me on the telephone at 343-0106 feature. Also, our talkback feature as well. Those are all on there. And a lot to talk about today. So coming up in the second half of this hour, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl had a lot to talk about with the congressman and had things on my list. And then just since this morning, like early this morning, before the fishing report this morning, I've had more things added to it. I do want to talk to Congressman Carl about a couple things. Number one, yesterday's speech on Second Amendment or on guns from President Biden. We'll talk a little bit about that in this first half hour. I want to get his reaction to that. Also, they've reached an agreement. It is so amusing on how the number, this is on the infrastructure framework here, the deal, how they're going to, it's not like, our in an infrastructure, I will argue that we need the infrastructure work in this country, but so many times in Washington, it's not like one group wants to spend money on something and the other group doesn't. It's just like they want to spend more, I want to spend less, and then they meet a lot closer to the higher number than it was the lower number. A $1.2 trillion infrastructure framework. We'll talk about that, you and I, and also talk about it with the congressman coming up. Plus, get his reaction to, if you were listening to Jeff's interview with Representative Mo Brooks running for Senate, his bill that would give Americans the right to sue China and like impose a tariff on Chinese products to get money back for what was lost from COVID. So we'll get into that coming up this hour. All right. Okay, before we go any further, and I see a lot of texts here from our last, the conversation that ended last hour about the my desire to buy a hashtag Free Britney t-shirt, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a second. But people, now I will say, Haywood was one of my favorites who said, by the way, XL is the new L, so that makes me feel good, Haywood, because I'm not coming at this as somebody who's svelte. I just asked a question. If you're going to wear something like a hip t-shirt, it comes in 5XL. The Free Britney, hashtag Free Britney t-shirt, which I'm considering getting. So there's a lot of commentary, like and Sean said here, NFL lineman is the only healthy 5XL. That's right. So then the conversation in the hall started and said, well, that's the biggest one they make, right? No. I can find at least 10XL. So to my friends in the hallway out there here at Bigler Broadcasting, I'm looking at a website, bigdudeclothing.com. They go to at least 10XL. And yes, I'm going to buy one of these because I want to see. Don't you want to see that? So this, we're going to buy something in 10XL. I'm going to get my Britney t-shirt in XL. But I'm going to buy, they have like just regular, you know, like just like the regular t-shirt, like nothing on it, just t-shirt. Although you can get other things. I just want to see how big it is. 10XL. How big of a shirt are we talking about? So that's one of our side projects around here, and we'll present that online. And then this falls in with a story, an animal story. Now, this is something I maybe I'll have get some grief from my friend Dan Brennan. He'll be like, man, I was going to do that story. You can do it tomorrow. I'm just going to do it today. Because when I saw the headline on WKRG.com, first of all, okay, let me put this on Twitter right now. By the way, y'all can follow me at FM Talk 106.5. There's also another one out there at I think it's Sean Sullivan Radio as I'm developing another Twitter handle. But at FM Talk 106.5, I just sent this out. The headline here, pig so obese she can hardly move, found abandoned in a dog cage in Las Vegas. So almost something like out of a Hunter S. Thompson novel. But there's a pig that has, I guess it makes sense, you have to, in veterinary applications, has a breathing apparatus over its snout as laying there on some, getting oxygen. And right next to it, looks like there's like blood samples or something they've taken and some hypodermic needles that are next. It looks like something, you want to see the picture. Then here's a story. A large potbelly pig found abandoned outside a Las Vegas home will go up for adoption once she loses some weight, according to officials at the Animal Foundation. They're fat-shaming pigs now, okay? I thought you couldn't go on social media. You're told you can't fat-shame, right? But now they're saying that nobody, who would want that pig, right, at that size? It's a pig. The pig named, wait for it, y'all, Cupcake, was discovered in a large wire dog kennel on June 2nd. High temperature that day was 107 degrees. Said Cupcake had been dumped there. She was alone, uncomfortable, and severely overweight. Now, do I think somebody, is it a good thing somebody did that? No. Said Cupcake weighs 175 pounds. And you're saying, well, that's not, like, you know, I've been around hogs before. That's not that. This is a pot, this is like a mini pot-bellied pig. At least at its birth was a bit, but 175 pounds. Extremely big for the pot-bellied pig. They said here, the Animal Foundation said, with a nail trim and portioned meals, Cupcake is on the road to recovery. Whew. She will need a caring owner who will help her on her weight loss journey and show her the love she deserves. Okay? And I hope the pig does, because pot-bellied pigs are, they're different. They're like dogs. I've seen too many of them. They're like dogs. But if you ever think that we do not live in the richest nation on planet Earth, as we're told by so many out there that all the things that are wrong with the United States and that's, y'all, let's check, can Dalton or Leanna or somebody, can we run a search of stories of obese pets in China? Can you, let's do something for Russia. Let's do a first world thing. We'll do Russia. Obese pets in Russia. No, it doesn't exist. Right. So there's a story. So a couple as we get started with today's show. All right. And let's get it. We'll grab texts are coming in here on this. Is the pig named Lizzo? It is not. That is out of, you take that comment there to Jeff's show. All right. There's more comments about the Britney Spears T-shirt here. Says I'm confused. Is it a good point, Joe? Thank you. I should have paused more. Joe says, is it a free Britney Spears T-shirt, like you don't have to pay for it, or does it say free Britney Spears? The second, the latter. There. So thank you, Joe, because I got to be clear on that. Buddy Ben says, if I want to be an L, I can just identify as an L. Okay. So I can just say, I know that T-shirt now says extra large, but for me, it's, I identify as a large. I'm thinking back to the good old days of being a large. Leanna's coming in. Go on. Turn that switch on and turn that switch on. Yes.
I did some research.
Okay. What you got?
And there is a cat that was denied flight in Russia because it was too fat.
So my theory about the United States being identified as that shining beacon on the hill because we have it so good that our pets are obese, there's a fat Russian cat.
Yeah, that was too fat to fly.
Too fat because the seatbelt wouldn't fit around the cat?
I'm not sure. I didn't go all the way into the detail.
Did it would unbalance the plane for weight? I wonder what makes a cat too fat to fly.
I'm not sure.
But this is a Russian cat. It wasn't like an American over there with her cat.
Exactly.
A Russian cat. So fat.
It couldn't fly.
Related probably the way that was presented to the Russian news. Vladimir Putin is so strong that even our cats are so robust that they are too big for the airplane. Something like that. So it's like, fat. Did they give you a weight on that cat?
No, I'll go do more research.
Okay, because I had my late aunt. she had a cat named Inky. Inky, the cat. And Inky the cat was 21 pounds.
Well, that's a big cat.
It's a huge cat. Huge cat. So I want to compare that against a Russian cat, okay?
Okay, super. I'll check.
Thank you for the update. Appreciate that. We have to get to... There's a lot of discussion of 10XL t-shirts on here as well. We'll have to get to those during the break. All right. And the Britney thing, by the way, I guess I need to give the backstory on this. So the story from BuzzFeed News earlier this week. Britney Spears asked a judge to end the conservatorship that sparked the hashtag Free Britney movement. And let me add also the swell t-shirts that say hashtag Free Britney. Says, Dateline Los Angeles, in an emotional and explosive court hearing, Britney Spears asked on Wednesday a judge to end her conservatorship, the legal arrangement that has put her father and a cast of lawyers in control of her life and sparked a movement among fans to hashtag Free Britney. Spears, who has lived since 2008 under the court-mandated agreement, which is typically used in cases of severe disability or dementia, spoke in public court hearing for the first time to ask a judge to give her back control over her affairs. So, I remember back then, the story was everywhere, right? All the wacky, the crazy stuff Britney Spears was doing. But she's 39 now. Consistency is uncomfortable, but it's putting me in a position that I'm got to defend Britney Spears for a second. I mean, is it that bad? If she's 39 and still has to be under conservatorship, should she be out, like, in public? I got to figure she's grown out of this stuff. It said, in a series of shocking revelations, Spears said the conservatorship has prevented her from living a full life. She'd like to get married and have another child, she said, but under the conservatorship, she hasn't been able to make a doctor's appointment to remove her IUD. And she isn't able to ride in a car if her boyfriend is driving. She's 39 and still under dad's control. So, I have to hop on this Free Britney thing. Go, girls. I'm with you. Free Britney, and coming right back, talk about the Second Amendment and the president and 10XL t-shirts and fat Russian cats. It's Midday Mobile. What are we going to do?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I also got your chance for REO Speedwagon tickets coming up sometime between now and 2 o'clock right here on this very program. All right, so let me grab a quick call here, and then I want to get into some of what President Biden said yesterday during that gun violence speech. I'll put it that way. First up, let's go to Terry in Mobile. Hey, Terry.
Hey, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing good. So 5X t-shirts. Yeah, Britney Spears.
5 and 10X t-shirts. You know, it might be the quality of the material. My wife always orders the 10X, and I get to use it as a nightgown after she washes it.
It's a good look for you. In a night, like mid-thigh, where does it cut you there, Terry? Where's it, you know, above the knee?
Well, it shrinks so bad. After my wife orders it, it shrinks so bad.
Now, that's true. You could take a 10X, and you're probably right. I've had those shirts. You could put it in the dryer and probably have it to be a medium afterwards.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, but, you know, that may be the... And the other thing about, we have this pig that's overweight.
Yes, very overweight. 175-pound pot-bellied pig out in Vegas.
You know, and we, our NAACP and everything that protects the animals and everything in our country, and over, you know, if it was Africa or
I mean the Humane Society,
China,
or
they would just say, free bacon.
Right, and they would say it. And with a regular pig, I'd be with you. But have you been around these pot-bellied? It'd be easy for me to just make pig jokes because I ate plenty of bacon last night, and I'll eat it tonight as well because my tomatoes are coming ripe. I'm constantly eating BLTs. But pot-bellied pigs, I've been around enough. I don't want one. But those jokers, they got personalities. They're like a dog almost.
Oh, they do. From what I heard, they make great pets.
Yeah. When I first saw people doing it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Who would have a pig? And I got around two people who had them, and I was like, kind of cool. They're kind of cool critters. But yeah, they could be bacon at any point. Terry, I appreciate your call. All right, I want to get into this because we'll talk about this some with Congressman Carl when he joins us. So yesterday, President Biden, speaking on guns, he had like a meeting with mayors from some big cities out there and some other outreach groups, what do you say, and violence stoppers, or they had a group, had a consortium of people there talking to him. Then he came out and did some, gave some remarks. Here we go. Let's go to cut one here.
I mean, repeat, zero tolerance. If you willfully sell a gun to someone who's prohibited from possessing it, if you willfully fail to run a background check, if you willfully falsify a record, if you willfully fail to cooperate with the tracing requests or inspections, my message to you is this: we'll find you, and we will seek your license to sell guns.
Okay, so first comment, he's getting tough. Those are all laws, as the president noted there, that are already on the books. Second Amendment advocates like myself, I can't speak for all of them, but just me personally, I got no problem with that. We actually want the laws on the books to be enforced. What's the big headline they splashed out everywhere, that 300,000 gun sales were denied because of background checks? Good. If it was done for the right reason, you got the bad people, you got a felon, got somebody who's got domestic violence charges where they're threatening to kill somebody, deny them the gun. That's the law of the land. That's not President Biden out there like beating his chest. It's nothing new. Enforce the law. I'm with you. All right, cut two.
About how he's coordinating more closely with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, to help take on criminal organizations committing violent crimes in the city. This kind of coordination is essential to keeping the weapons of war out of the hands of dangerous criminals, fugitives, and gangs.
Okay, that's why I sent that clip to myself. Because he just came off comments right before that, the president did, talking about gun violence in our cities and all this. The weapons of war, do you want to look at the statistics? As much as I may own between 0 and 500 handguns. Handguns are the driver of those stats. He's conflating, the thing they love to attack, modern sporting rifles. You have semi-automatic rifles with the ability to carry magazines from 10 to 20 to 30 to higher. That's not what is day in and day out making dead Americans in our towns and cities. But he conflates the two. All right, go on. Cut number three here.
Some mental health services that we know will make a difference in prevention of crime. Here's another example that reminds me of the old saying my mom used to use. She said, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Well, school's out for the summer.
I think I just wanted to send that to myself because it said school's out for the summer. And I was thinking Alice Cooper. All right, the next cut here.
Cognitive behavioral therapy to help them react to the impulses by slowing down rather than following through on the violence. It puts them in paid jobs to change their trajectory.
Did y'all understand that? I had trouble following that one. All right, go to the next one.
Our democracy, to keep each other safe. Enough. That means Congress passing sensible gun prevention, violence prevention initiatives is worried. It makes sense. Background checks.
Which, by the way, background checks are the law.
Ban on assault weapons.
Okay, ban on assault weapons. See, first he was going to tax stamp them. Now a ban on assault weapons. Who defines what that is?
Repeal of liability shield for gun manufacturers.
Bingo. What did I tell y'all? I said this back when he was campaigning, when he was candidate Biden, and I said it when he was President Biden. Out of all the things that get rolled out that there's not enough Democrats in Washington to vote for, at least as of now, that's the one they're going to go after. That's the one that you need to be worried about. This push to remove liability from gun manufacturers. In other words, I'm Sturm Ruger, okay? I manufacture a weapon. Somebody legally buys that weapon. Sturm Ruger's not a retailer. To those of y'all that are moved here from California, don't understand guns. Like, Ruger's not selling guns at the shop. They're selling to a store. And that store sells to the individual. And they take a background check. This push here would make Sturm Ruger liable if a person legally bought that gun and went out and committed a crime or killed somebody with it. In other words, end of gun industry. That's what they want. All right, Congressman Carl joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 1065. Remember the brand new FM Talk 1065 app. Waiting for you. Free download. Just search FM TALK 1065 on iTunes or Google Play. Now play this clip here before we get AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl on with us. Because the boss there in the House, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, earlier today, well, she'll tell you how solemn it is. She rolls with solemnity here. Let's go that clip.
Despite the expressed support of seven GOP senators, Mitch McConnell asked Republican senators to do him a personal favor and vote against the commission. Cowardly, the Republican senators did him a personal favor rather than honoring their patriotic duty to protect and defend. For the past 4 weeks, there have been attempts from outside groups, from leaders across the country to persuade the Senate to pass the commission. Tomorrow will be 4 weeks since the commission failed in the Senate. I asked, leading up to today, is there a chance for it to pass? We gave it so much time. Not soon. Not likely. Maybe someday. In the meantime, I'm hopeful that that could still happen at some point. However, this morning, with great solemnity and sadness, I'm announcing that the House will be establishing a select committee on the January 6th insurrection.
All right. Earlier today, there in the House, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and our Congressman Jerry Carl joining us now. Could you detect the solemnity and the sadness, Congressman?
No. No, there's not an ounce of that there. I mean, that is so far off the reservation, I wouldn't even attempt to try to explain it. But listen, I mean, they have passed such poor bills. I mean, we're in the minority, obviously, so anything we want, anything we need, it gets struck down. Hey, I'm used to that. I'll still fight the good fight. 2022, we're going to take over. But she has passed such poor bills. She has threatened everybody on the floor, talking about Democrats, or talking about, you know, asking for personal favors. You should see that lady work the floor. I mean, she is incredible walking around taking her notes. She knows exactly who she needs to target, who to pinpoint. So, and she's got such bad bills that she's passed in the last 6 months. This is the only thing she can keep alive. She's trying to keep January the 6th alive. So, of course, she's going to start do her own committee. And in the next 18 months, we're going to see the most bizarre stuff come out of it, simply because it's going to be creative imagination. I mean, it's a la-la land up here when it comes to this stuff. People tell you stuff, don't believe it till you put your hands on it and you look at it and you know it's the truth. Then you only believe half of it.
Congressman, I mean, I thought, you know, that maybe it would be the benefit of not ever chasing this down, to kind of keep it, you know, use it as a political bludgeon or a fundraising mechanism out there and never really move forward with it. But it now, I guess, with this select committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol, like you're talking about over a year. You think this goes on for over a year, more than 12 months of what, reports or present? How's this going to look in the House? What do you think? Are they going to do some stuff, then come back and speak in the House chambers? Or how does it work?
You'll see the same cronies get put together on a committee. You'll see that committee just come up with these things that will be leaked out through the press, and the press will report it as a reliable source. It's going to be, you know, something. I'm not going to say everything comes out, it's not going to be the truth. We don't know what the truth is. But as any committee would do, you're supposed to keep that quiet, keep it silent, and then make your presentation to Congress and let Congress make the decision on what they believe or disbelieve about it. But it won't be that way. It'll be a slow dribble, a slow leak. It'll be some truth, mainly false stuff, in my opinion, because it's all about re-election in 2022. They know they've got 57 different seats, 57 that are in jeopardy of losing. And that they know that as well as anybody. So this is just a political tactic. I'm sure the Trump administration's sitting back with a grin on their face. They're they're playing right into to. I mean, Trump will be on the top of the conversation piece of everybody with everything that's leaked out, and you know the Trump administration's got to enjoy it. I mean, they get a lot of free press.
Yeah, but it, you know, you talk about those 57 seats, and you've talked about this, that you feel confident the Republicans in the midterms will take control in the House. But this, I mean, I can see what's happening. You said it, obviously you see it as well. So with that great, we could detect the solemnity and the sadness. Speaker Pelosi rolls out what will be this question, right, in not in Alabama, but in purple states and places where, you know, it's not as red as Alabama. They're going to have to. Every reporter is going to ask them a question about January 6th and this select committee, right? So everybody running for it's not going to be about how the country's being run, where the inflation is, all those things. It's going to be, hey, what's your reaction to whatever dripped out this week from this select committee, right? And that's what the Republicans are going to have to answer to when they're on the campaign trail.
If Nancy Pelosi was truly concerned about this country, she'd be talking about the Wuhan lab issue. Not something that happened 6 months ago that she's trying to dig up old dirt on. I mean, that was a bad situation here. We have dealt with it. I've had numerous arrests that, you know, we all agree it should not have happened the way that it happened. People do have a right to protest. You know, I'll be the first one to defend that. But when you start breaking and tearing stuff up, you fall on a different level. You really do.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking to us as those people were trying to kick through the door. You were on the phone with us that day as y'all were, you know, moved and hidden and all that stuff. I mean, I can go back and play the you're no fan of what was going on right then.
No, I was furious. I was mad. I mean, that's the people's house. We weren't sent there to tear it up. I love people that have different opinions than I do. I love to talk to them and try to learn from them. But that day is a day that will always be recorded in history. But the Democrats can't let it go because they have passed such horrible stuff through this 117th congressional time period here. That I mean, it's just and they put so many of their colleagues in situations of not being reelected. I mean, they're really creating this tidal wave themselves. And they can't get away from it. And we all know Donald Trump loved, Bill Clinton was the best in the world. He didn't care what you said about him as long as, you know, he was the center of the conversation. Well, a lot of politicians are that way. I'm not. I like to stay out of those kind of conversations. But they're going to be talking about Trump for the next 12 months. And it's just going to elevate him, elevate his people. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, we're Trump country. We're all pro Trump. I'm not arguing that a bit, but it's just not good government. We got real problems up here, real things we need to be dealing with.
Yeah, it seems like those bad bills that Speaker Pelosi has had Democrats voting for and those issues, I wonder if they can be washed away or at least mitigated. If on the other side, and we're not, once again, not talking about Alabama, we're talking about purple states out there and places where Republicans could gain seats back, if they're going to have to somehow be answering for something that they had nothing to do with. You see what I'm saying? It's almost like this idea, have this committee go on through the midterm election, so every Republican up there has to have some commentary about January 6th.
You know, again, in my district, it's really not a big question. I mean, people don't focus that much on the 6th. Most of them, you know, we understand, you know, the right to life. We understand the Second Amendment. I mean, there's some basics to our foundation that we get, we understand. And a peaceful protest is certainly one of them. But what the Democrats, I mean, they passed such horrible legislation that they really have nothing to fall back on. And several of these Democrats I've become friends with. At least one of them's already told me there's no way he's going to be reelected. And, you know, you want to shake him and go, well, look what you voted on, silly. You know, he won by 1.5% in his district. Well, you know, he can't even get his top supporter, which is the iron unions, to return his phone call anymore. And they put him in office because of the closure of the pipeline, him voting for that. So it's a real mess up here with the Democrats. I know they talk about the Republicans being in a mess up here. We're not. We're sitting with a grin on our face. We're like the cat. I mean, we're just sitting around watching this, and we're doing what we can do. We're doing the job of the people. We truly are. I mean, I'm arguing. We're getting ready, obviously, to start putting the budgets together, and you know, we're arguing for our little piece of the world, and we're doing what we need to do. But at the end of the day, the Democrats have got no choice. I mean, it's too late for them to turn back. It is just too late. So this is all they can do.
Congressman, you mentioned Second Amendment there, too. And before you came on, I was running through some clips from President Biden's gun speech yesterday, his gun violence speech. And a couple of things, I mean, it goes back through some of the same old yarns, but also this push, you know, to the one I think is the most worrisome is to remove the protection from gun manufacturers for liability suits. In other words, yep. Say, you know, Sturm Ruger makes a gun. That gun is bought legally and then used in a crime or used to, you know, to rob or to kill somebody or maim somebody, and they turn around and sue Sturm Ruger or whatever other company. That, to me, out of all the different things that are discussed out there, to me, that's a linchpin. That would bring gun manufacturing in our country, I imagine, to a standstill.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You'd see all that move offshore, and then that's going to be a totally different issue. But I fall back on what I've said. I know I've said it to you personally. I don't know if I've said it on the show, but I know several of the Democrats that are so pro-gun. I mean, one of them bought a new truck and had an AK-47 stenciled across his back windshield. This is a Democrat.
Okay.
Across the back of the truck. So that's one vote they can't get. As far as the House, now what the president does as far as executive orders is something totally different. But you don't have to be from South Alabama to appreciate our Second Amendment. I mean, we've got folks that understand the Second Amendment across this nation. So that's going to be a real, pardon the pun, it's going to be a real landmine for them if they try to tinker with it too much. So they're not that they may a very slim chance get something through the House. But it will die in the Senate. Now, what the president does on his own is something totally different, which will scar everybody, as far as the Democrat Party. So they've got to be very careful on that. I personally don't see it going nowhere, but I want people to get on the phone, call their congressman, you know, outside their district if they feel comfortable doing that. Let them know how they feel. And very simply, stay away from my Second Amendment rights. That's all you need to say. That says it all right there.
All right, and I want to talk about what senators over there in that other body, those guys and gals, 10 of them have gotten together. They've been talking for a month now about this, trying to find a infrastructure framework compromise, and then reported this morning they have reached an agreement on $1.2 trillion in infrastructure framework. Now, of course, it's got many other, you know, hoops to go through, but they said it was protected from the far right and the far left. I don't know what's in the bill that protects it that way, or if, you know, they kept the gas tax out of it so President Biden would sign it. But what's your feeling on this? What are you hearing in the House about this? Is this going to happen?
Well, none of us have seen it to start with. I mean, it came across the news wires, what, an hour and a half ago? So none of us have had a chance to see it. My biggest fear was a right to work state. What Biden put together originally was $4 trillion. So this bill is 25% of that. The Republicans were also trying to use some COVID money that we'd already borrowed that's sitting dormant in an account. We were trying to transfer that money over to this infrastructure package. Don't know if that's part of it or not. But the biggest thing that scared me was the right to work. Originally, the $4 trillion package, it had to be used by union forces.
Wait a second.
And
so you're saying, like,
at lunch today, when I saw that come across, the gentleman I was sitting with, I asked him if he knew if that was still in it or not, because that would affect the state of Alabama just tremendously.
So
we're right to work state, and that we've used that for recruiting all these companies that you see coming in. That's one of the first things that they look for.
So I mean, the idea would be that. And I don't know, and I'll dig into this as we get, like you said, I mean, we've only had it live here for an hour or so, 2 hours. But the idea back then, or if it was still in, would be the money wouldn't go to a right-to-work state for infrastructure projects?
It could only be used on projects that were unionized.
Wow. So if
so I am not anti-union, but I am for businesses having an option and a choice. And my father was in union his entire life, so I grew up around the union mentality. But I've been a businessman for the last 40-plus years, too, and I understand the value of determining my own destiny when you're talking about my businesses. So that was Biden's version of it. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's still in this package that they put together, and it will change. It will be altered. When it gets to the House, you'll see Pelosi and her crew try to, the far, far left, mm-hmm. the gang's going to try to put their stuff in it. It's far from over, far from over.
Yeah, interesting.
But how is it going to affect the state of Alabama? We
right.
still don't know monetarily. We don't know how it's going to be split up. Therefore, we don't know how much we would actually have access to. We just don't know yet.
Now, if I understand this correctly, the what had been the rule for, I don't know, the last, decade or so about non-earmarking, not being able to direct federal funds, like you as our congressman, not being able to direct funds directly to a project, it had to go to an intermediary, like, from here, ALDOT or something like that. Has that changed? Would you be able to, if there was money available, would you be able to steer directly to a project?
You know, I've always been against earmarking it. And when I got up here, I've discovered that the bureaucrats do all the decision making. And that's when I changed my mind. If I get a chance to earmark something, yes, sir, I'll earmark it.
And
because I do not want these bureaucrats determining where money goes in my district or outside my district either. I am a Republican that I submitted a list, very simple list. I worked with all our mayors in the different cities. I asked them what they needed, how we could help. Most of them are very small projects. I mean, compared to what we're talking about up here, they're very small projects. But it's still a form of earmarking. You can't get away from that. But if you don't, and I know some people had problems with it, but I have more of a problem with a bureaucrat that's been up here for 25 or 30 years deciding what my district needs and doesn't need. That's my biggest problem.
Hey, Congressman, as we wrap here, a conversation earlier on the station, Congressman Bo Brooks was talking about a bill he's presented here that would, I want to get the terms right, well, it would hold the communist Chinese responsible, right, for the COVID virus, and give what, Americans some sort of recourse in that, or and a tariff maybe? What do you know, and do you support this?
Who would not support that? I mean, let's hold them all responsible. I gave a speech on the floor last night, and the whole speech was about, you know, as a country, this is not this is bipartisan. This is one issue that Republicans, Democrats, Independents, all of us should be together on. All of us should be working to find out the truth of this, because if we think because this is basically germ warfare. So if we don't find out and hold the people responsible for how this happened, or at least find out the facts to be the truth, if we don't do that, it's going to happen again. And we don't need to try to figure this out twice. We don't need to try to go through the economy being shut down twice. Lord knows that we, the people, are tired. We want to just get back to normal lives. So, and that's what I was arguing on the floor about, trying to get people to, you know, the Democrats, work with us. Let's figure out what happened here. Then we can move from there. We can, and of course, Mose would be the next step. It's a mess up here. I don't know any other way to put it. And it's obviously all politics. But at the end of the day, we're up here for one reason only. That's to serve the people in our district. And it's, people have questions about the six. They have questions about the Wuhan lab. It's our job to be able to answer those.
And Congressman, we will check back with you soon, and maybe we'll have some answers by that point. And we appreciate you joining us on the show today.
All right. Thank you, Sean. God bless America.
All right. Thank you. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Also, a like a, is it, it's not really an Easter egg because it's like the centerpiece of the picture. But if you'll go to the Twitter feed, which, by the way, you could go straight through the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, and you'll see our Twitter feed embedded in there, along with the latest weather, traffic information, all the podcasts you love of the station, live streaming, the talkback feature, all that in there. You also see like a great Facebook page in there, our Instagram page, but also the Twitter feed that's really kind of more my Twitter feed, but I'm going to let it go one day. You'll see this. I got a picture there. It's an Ain't She Purdy. Go look at the picture of that. That's your Easter egg. That's a, it's a big deal. What did the president call it? A big flipping deal out there. So go check out that picture. You'll see it on the Twitter feed. All right. Is Jeff still in the back? Or if Jeff's cruising along in the midlife crisis mobile? Jeff, you see New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which is now scheduled for October 8th through the 17th. So you've got Foo Fighters. Sweet. They're going to be there. White Crows are going to be there. But also, you have Jimmy Buffett and Lizzo. So there's a chance for a collab there, a Jimmy Buffett and Lizzo collab. So, Jeff, just I want to hear about that.